This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, of course, a great partnership with DraftKings. And with that, a huge addition to our program is Brennan White, straight from the DraftKings trading floor. He is the U.S. team lead over there, and he joins us in his customary Thursday spot. Hi, Brennan. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going? You know, I heard you talking about James Polk, and I've got a fun fact, which is he wasn't even a nominee at the Democratic convention that year. He was the compromise candidate. So in some way, he's the ultimate dark horse.
By the way, Dustin, do you give people a presidential test before they're allowed on this program?
Yes.
Because that was impressive there, Brennan.
That's as good as anything we've had.
That is tremendous, Brennan. Thank you for that. Just adding to the presidential vibes of today's program. Of course, Brennan White. Okay. Can you give us an idea? Take us behind the book. It's a busy time of the year. I don't know if you're going to see your family next week for Thanksgiving, but sports betting doesn't stop. So give us an idea of what the next week looks like for you on the trading floor there at DraftKings.
It's absolute insanity. We're getting to the point of the year where we've got every sport all the time, all day long. We've got Feast Week in college basketball. We've got three Thanksgiving NFL games. Still got college football, NBA, NHL. It's nuts. But, you know, the guys that are here, they love it, right? Because this is what being a sports fan is about. You get to follow all these things. There's stuff happening all the time. And it's challenging. And, you know, guys don't get to take holidays off and go see their families. But it's really cool to be amongst a group of guys who really are passionate about everything that we're doing here. And we get through it, and it's really fun.
By the way, Patrick, I want to just add something to it. He talked about working in sports, which I love that point. As a guy that covered teams, I'm going to tell you, if you want to work in sports, do something that Brennan's doing or do something that we're doing. Because I'm going to tell you, covering a team you think is great, you miss everything else that's going on. You get stuck with that one team. It could be a 40-point game. Here, we're sitting there. Brennan's talking about it right now. I'm watching the Wings in Ottawa in overtime in Stockholm. I'm watching the tournament in Charleston right now. Dayton's playing right now against LSU near the halftime. Brennan, there was a great game that finished today between North Texas and St. John's. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a great game. And North Texas coming back, really low scoring, yeah. Kind of some poor offense. But it's crazy when you can, you know, wake up and there's sports on all day long, and you go to bed and you're just trying to get a sense of what happened that day and how can we prepare for tomorrow.
Yeah, I've been doing this my whole entire adult life. When people ask me what I'm doing for Thanksgiving and Christmas, I just kind of laugh because this is what we're doing, and you know what, we're lucky to do it. We're lucky about Thursday night, too, Brennan. Let's get into this. I'm curious about the handle over there at DraftKings because I'm guessing with this matchup with the Bengals and Ravens, it's off the hook there, right?
Yeah, a huge game for us. It's an interesting matchup, right? Both of these teams have, of course, playoff aspirations. The Ravens have aspirations to win the AFC and get that bye in the number one seed. And I think, you know, based on their recent performance, particularly last week, this is kind of a bounce back spot for both of them. It's for us a game where we're seeing an interesting spread of bets. Normally for primetime games, people like to bet the underdog money line or the favorite spread, because if they think the underdog is going to cover, they also think they're going to win and they get the boosted odds. And if they think the favorite's going to win, they think they're going to cover and they don't want to pay the big on the money line. But we're actually seeing the opposite for this game. So Ravens money line and Bengals spread are where our liabilities lie. I'm not really sure why that is. Perhaps it's, you know, we're past the key number of 3, 3.5, and 4. And then the under. The under is really popular as well. Perhaps that's the primetime angle. But typically we see a lot of over money, especially with two kind of high-profile offenses, and we're just not seeing that this week.
Brennan, I want to go to the Monday night game. Should be a great one. Super Bowl rematch. Both teams off of a bye. The numbers kind of fluctuating back and forth between 2.5 and 3. First of all, tell us where you have that one sitting at. And then I would be shocked if a ton of money is not kind of flowing towards the Kansas City Chiefs, because we know the value of a 3 in an NFL game. I mean, when's the last time outside of the Super Bowl you see the Chiefs, especially at a home spot, less than a field goal?
Yeah, this is going to be an excellent game. We opened at 2.5. We took money on the 2.5. We went to 3, and then we took money on the 3. So we're at a point now where at -2.5, -20, I think we'll probably stay in that range. we're still going to take Chiefs money there, but we're kind of comfortable with that. The interesting thing about this game is there's so many narratives and high-profile players, and with same-game parlays being a huge part of the industry now, whether or not we do well in this game is going to come down entirely to how the star players perform. Mahomes, Hurts, A.J. Brown, you know, Travis Kelce, guys that people want to bet their overs. If they hit, it doesn't really matter who wins or what the total comes in at. We're going to have a bad day.
You may have answered this. Brendan White joining us, U.S. team lead there, DraftKings, talking, of course, a lot of football as you've got Thanksgiving football coming up. Who will you need tonight? You may have said it, but I'm just curious. Are they laying it? Because last night we were sitting here, DraftKings, or yesterday we were sitting here, DraftKings was 4. It has been bet down to 3.5 with the Ravens. So just curious, are they laying it there?
Yeah, so we opened this 3.5 and went up to 4, kind of similar to the Monday night game. And we're taking money on the Ravens' money line, kind of regardless of what that spread is.
Gotcha.
But we've seen more action on the Bengals to cover at 4, so we've gone back to 3.5.
Gotcha. Okay.
Brendan, I want to go to the college ranks a little bit. I like these two team matchups you're kind of pointing towards. Georgia's on the road at Rocky Top taking on Tennessee, laying about 10.5, depending on where you get the number. And then again, we just talked about before you came on, Washington in Corvallis against Oregon State. Kind of give us your perspective on both of these matchups as both teams are in tough road spots.
Yeah, so we'll start with the Bulldogs, who, when you think about it, really have only played one good team on the road. That Florida game was neutral and Vanderbilt's, you know, not very good. So that game against Auburn, they needed a late Bowers touchdown to win. Of course, they don't have Bowers anymore. They haven't really been tested. Now, Tennessee's kind of been up and down this year, but they did play Bama close on the road for 3 quarters. I think 10.5 might be too big of a spread. Milton can have a good enough game for Tennessee for them to cover, if not sort of threaten to win late. And then, of course, Washington, Oregon State, I think this is all about Penix. Oregon State is 2 3-point losses away from being undefeated themselves, but they're not a very public team. You know, oftentimes their games are very late. Fans don't get a chance to watch them. They don't have a big sort of national following, but they are a very good team. The thing is, though, they've played 2 high-profile passing offenses. They obviously were able to hold Sanders and Colorado in check, but Cam Ward threw for 400 touchdowns or 400 yards and 4 touchdowns against them. And if Penix can do that, I think Washington can escape.
We were joking, Brennan, that our assumption is because oftentimes the public's going to take a look at a matchup like Washington, Oregon State, see the undefeated record next to Washington and just bet them catching. We were wondering, is it very heavy public money on Washington and maybe some sharp money on Oregon State, or how's it split there at DraftKings?
Yeah, you're spot on. Very heavy public action on Washington. I don't know. We'd have to make them a favorite for people to even look at Oregon State on the money line. But liability-wise, we're fairly balanced. We've taken some very large wagers from sharper customers, and a lot of the sharps are on the Oregon State getting less than a field or laying less than a field goal.
Brendan, real quick, when you look at a matchup like this, do you think it's the fact that nobody really gives the Beavers credit because they're a smaller school when you think about from a popularity standpoint? I mean, it's a team with 2 losses by a field goal each. This is a very, very good football team.
Yeah, I do think that's a big part of it. You know, it's interesting. I was a little surprised that they're ranked number 10. I think, you know, playing the sort of weaker schedule that they've had and having close losses, but, you know, also kind of escaping against Cal and not looking all that great against Colorado, I think maybe they're a little overranked, but at the same time, from a public perception perspective, they're definitely underrated. I think people just aren't familiar with how good this team is this year. And, you know, historically, they haven't been an excellent program.
Now, oddly, a Columbus Blue Jacket fan, okay, Brennan, but grew up, I believe, Minnesota.
That's right.
I can't remember if you're a Vikings fan. Are you into the Vikings?
I'm a Panthers fan, but I follow the Vikings pretty closely.
Okay, so let me ask you about the Vikings. Like, we were just having a little fun with this. If the special teams coordinator there with Buffalo can count to 11, Denver loses. I wonder what the number would be. Maybe they're still a point and a half favorite, but they're 2.5-point favorite. The Vikings are on a heater right now. give me your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, this is a really interesting game, right? Because you think about the Viking season so far, and last year, obviously, they won every single one-score game. And this year, if I told you Jefferson's hurt, Cousins is hurt, Madison has a concussion, but they're minus 200 to make the playoffs because they went and traded for Josh Dobbs, you would think I was insane. But it's how they run that franchise, right? They're really just trying to stay in it until the last couple weeks of the regular season, try to make the playoffs. I don't think they have Super Bowl aspirations, but they're decent enough that they can win all these games. I think when you look at kind of them traveling to Denver, it'll be a really tough test for that offense, especially without Jefferson. Dobbs still hasn't had that many weeks to get accustomed to the offense, and Denver's defense is finally fully healthy. We saw what they did against Buffalo. They forced Josh Allen to turn the ball over. It seemed like every time they had the ball. If Dobbs can sort of manage the game plan and keep the ball with the Vikings, I think they have a chance to win. But Denver's really surging. I like that their offense is fully healthy. I think ultimately they probably come out ahead, and the public and the sharps agree with that. We have liability from both on Denver, both on the spread.
Okay, Brendan White, DraftKings U.S. trading team lead. Listen, it's going to be a busy holiday season. Thank you to all the work you and your team do over there at DraftKings. And be good. And by the way, as you know, Polk was a protege of Andrew Jackson. So a lot of that issue, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, Brennan, thank you. At BrennanWhite14 on Twitter. Thank you, Brennan.
Thank you, guys.
A lot of trivia with the presidents today. We're back. Dog pound.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, become a subscriber for $19. Again, introductory offer, very low. VSiN.com/subscribe. You get everything we offer, daily best bets, VSiN leaderboard, betting splits, and more. Go over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Been great getting to know Brennan White straight from the trading room floor over at DraftKings. Those guys are super sharp. Nice to talk to him as we do here on Thursdays. Thursdays, of course, I'm Al Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher here on Sharp Money. Not just Thursday Night Football with a great matchup. We'll have our plays coming up in just a bit to close out the show with the Bengals taking on the Ravens. Two teams looking for a bounce back, but also we head to the Dog Pound on Thursdays, boys. And we got the small dogs in for myself and Amal. I got the Vikings at plus 115. We just talked about them in Denver. Northwestern, I like that angle with the... First off, I'm pretty sure, I'll call myself out, I'm pretty sure I said Northwestern, like, if they win two games this year, it's going to be a miracle. I mean, think about going into the year, how much just controversy and consternation surrounded that program. Like, the job that kid has done. And didn't Fitzgerald win one game last year?
Yeah, exactly.
And so the job he did with the roster, obviously, that didn't do anything last year, with all the consternation surrounding the program, and to be sitting 5-5, that's a tremendous job of them all.
Listen,
they're good. They play hard. What they are, like, they're a tough team to deal with.
There are kids that book tickets home for Christmas that are not going to be able to use them because they're going to be going to a bowl game. I mean, This team won one game last year. You expected the season to be over right around Thanksgiving. The fact that they win and they become bowl eligible on Saturday against Purdue is a complete shocker. I don't know anybody that thought Northwestern was going to win five games this year. Maybe you thought they'd get to four and you bet the season win total over. But to become bowl eligible, uh-uh.
Well,
no chance.
Because of what Pat Fitzgerald was and what we thought he represented, right? Like, he was a guy who played there. The thought was Northwestern couldn't do better than Pat Fitzgerald, but he could do better than them. He was choosing to stay there. May not be the case.
Well, I tell you another thing, guys, that really kind of presents itself now. Braun's taken over, done a nice job. Some of his in-game clock management leaves a little bit to be desired, but overall he's gotten this team going in the right direction. And I'll tell you, this is an indictment of Fitzgerald, not because of the record, but I think the environment that was created there by him had suppressed the team so much, and now you've seen this team elevated and being very competitive.
Good point.
I mean, they're going to be 6-5 after they beat Purdue.
That's a good point. And here's the question for you two. My assumption is the answer is no, but does Pat Fitzgerald coach again?
I don't think so. Not at least at the collegiate level. He would have to be a coordinator somewhere at the NFL where I don't think he'd want to take it when you've been a head coach for almost 17 years. You've been running the show. I think, Patrick, you're right. Look, he's not Urban Meyer where you sit there and say, well, people go, there's baggage with Urban. Yeah, you know what? There's rings. So we'll take Urban.
Yeah, exactly.
Pat Fitzgerald's not good enough to sit there and justify that type of excuse of bringing him in.
Now, he's suing the university for wrongful termination, and there's still some stuff to play out with it. But if the allegations are, like, half true, like, I don't see how he can be in an athletic locker room again.
Unlike Mel Tucker, who's suing for money in a different situation there at Michigan State, I would not want to really be suing if I'm Pat Fitzgerald, because during disclosure, there might be some things that come out, or excuse me, during discovery that come
Agreed.
Out that you don't want coming out that could be completely detrimental to any opportunity you have in the future.
Yes. Sometimes you don't want to call attention
Yes.
to the mess, because you really want to go there? You really, like one of those things, you really want to go there? I don't know. I'm just trying to think as we were talking about that, the open jobs, boys. So Michigan State, Mississippi State, Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Keep filling in if I'm missing anybody.
Well, UCLA in a week.
UCLA could potentially be open. You're right about that.
Emmy. We're missing any.
Am I missing anybody?
Not that I can think of right
those
now.
Those are the big...
So, Boise? So those are interesting,
not yet.
Right?
Andy Avalos and Boise, yeah.
Boise, like, they're all getting ahead of it now, because they don't want to, if they have someone that they have circled that they want to bring in for an interview, they don't want to miss out by waiting too long to fire whoever's the donk in charge right now.
But I think Amal said it yesterday, and it's so true about A&M. Like, it feels like because of the resources outside looking in, that's a great job. But the cult-like atmosphere makes it, and the unrealistic expectations makes it weird. We just had Nigel Burton on talking about there's a systemic issue potentially at UCLA, because outside looking in, that feels like a great job. Mississippi State is a donk university, no offense. East Lansing all of a sudden looks like the best job, because D'Antonio had a ton of success there.
D'Antonio was the defensive coordinator for Ohio State when they won the national championship against Miami. He's a really good football coach. He did well there. But I got to tell you, that's a tough job in my estimation. Patrick, you can speak to this 100 times better than I can. When you look at the fact that Michigan is rolling right now, they're on the cusp of winning their third consecutive Big Ten title, making the college football playoff for 3 years in a row, could be a national champion this year. And then you look at Ohio State, Penn State as well. How tough of a job is Michigan State to take over right now?
It's you're right. And it's especially there's been a lot that's gone on in the athletic department, obviously, that's kind of tarnished the Michigan State, perception. And I think we all know what we're talking about here. So Mississippi State, it's like they didn't really – I think you brought up a good point, Dustin. They got rid of that kid. They didn't give him a ton of opportunities, but it's almost like get out in front of the hiring cycle, because there's going to be a ton of open jobs.
Well, Dustin and I can't figure out how Arnett got a $4 million buyout when you were like – It was a game.
Arnett, nobody heard of him.
Well, no, they're like, I'm sorry, our coach has passed. We'd like to have you become the head coach. I mean, it was like a game of musical chairs. And they're like, well, there's an open chair. It's Zach Arnett.
I think here's what I think happened. I think what happened is there's another cycle of interviews happening around college football. And I think an old friend in Starkville, his name started popping up for other jobs. And I'm talking about Dan Mullen. And I think Mississippi State looked at what they had and said, Zach Arnett, you are what you are. But Dan Mullen won here. Dan Mullen found and developed Dak Prescott here. He had Mississippi State as a tough team to deal with when he was coaching that program. They weren't going to let someone else interview and take their guy who they knew who they could bring home again, and he could win ball games for them.
You're saying Dan Mullen's going to Mississippi State?
I'm saying Dan Mullen should be the reason why you fire a coach like Zach Arnett, who you bought in low in a year ago.
I'll say this about Donk Mullen. We've had him on the show a bunch. If it doesn't work out in coaching, he should go sell mortgages, because he'd be the best in the country at it.
Yeah, yes. Yes. Dude, he charmed all three of us in a 10-minute
interview. He's a bit of a donk, though.
Yeah, everyone's a donk. Everyone's a donk.
No, come on. You know what I'm saying. Like, yes. He's super charming, but there's an aloofness there
yes.
that is, I don't know. Am I crazy in saying that? There does seem to be a bit of an aloofness there. I think that's not crazy to say. To be fair to Mullen, he had success at Mississippi State. Now, a lot of it was he and Dak. Am I incorrect?
No, you're right. That's when they reached number one.
QB they there too.
Was it 2014 when they were number one in the college football's first ranking?
Yeah.
Yes. I would also like to say, for the next time you book Dan Mullen, I don't think he's a donk, okay? I'm just saying.
He won at Mississippi State in 14, 10 games, in 15, 9 games, down year in 16, down to 6, back up to 8, and then went to Florida.
And at Florida, he was 10-3, 11-2,
oh, no, they,
4
they have to be
five,
regretting
six.
That. They have to look back and be like,
oh, yeah, no, I agree.
Well,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Florida's thing is we want to bring in an elite coach, Dan Mullen, Urban Meyer, and then we want to bring in the worst possible coach. Follow that up with Will Muschamp and Billy Napier.
The yeah. reason Dan Mullen didn't work at Florida has nothing to do with Dan Mullen in Florida. Who was hired in 2017 at Georgia?
Kirby.
That's why.
Exactly. No, you're 1,000%
right.
Florida
ran the East up until then.
The big guy calling me out, kind of true though. When you go, everyone's
dude,
a dog.
You don't get
that's a fair statement.
You call your dog a dog.
I know it's not cool. But it's kind of turned into a term of endearment.
Oh yeah, yeah. It sounds like you really love the people you're talking about.
I will say one thing. I don't know about you guys. I don't know if you know about Kirby Smart, but what's his strength? Like when I look at like
secondary.
I don't mean – yeah, I know he played in the secondary there with Will Muschamp, and unfortunately Will Muschamp keeps getting recycled because of it. But what I'm saying is, like, Mullen, I could see him winning living rooms.
Yes.
Like, Kirby –
this is what Kirby does. He wears all the rings he got with Saban, wears the rings he's gotten himself, and he just drops
his hands on
the table.
Yeah, but I know Mullen's question. You're not – like, the Mullen thing makes sense.
Yes.
Like, he's going to charm the pants off you.
Yes.
Kirby's never
– okay.
Maybe he's authentic because he never pretends to be anything he's not.
It's – you know what it is? It's John Calipari versus a Coach K. John Calipari is way more charming than Coach K.
1,000,000.
Okay. Well, Coach K has way more championships than John Calipari.
You know what I heard as far as the recruiting trail with moms? Saban could be on the Golden Bachelor,
yes.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yes. Miss Terry is a lucky
woman. He goes
woman.
Into those houses.
I have
and
not
it
heard
is.
That. He's closing,
oh.
Huh?
Oh, the moms get into Nick big time. Apparently, he goes Golden Bachelor on those recruiting trips. He's dancing. He's got card tricks.
So you're saying
he's hiding stuff.
I heard that's how James Harden wound up at Arizona State.
Real be real.
It could be.
Yeah,
Saban's pulling quarters from behind ears.
Well, I heard he didn't get a 5-star because he did one of those Jim Harbaugh sleepovers, but he wasn't staying in the kids' room.
Hey. We're back. Dog pound.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, got to take a break to talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. You can find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. As a warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Okay, we're in the dog pound. Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. And I want to give props to Amal because he reminded me, I call my favorite being on the planet, that being my dog Jeezy, a donk. So that goes to show, Dustin Sweetelson, that's man's best friend. She's laying right here. She lays right here every day I do the show. Nothing matters more to me, sorry to my family, than Jeezy. Okay, I call her a donk 1,000 times a day. So that's good news for Dan Mullen. So there, Dustin Sweetelson.
Yeah, but I've also, you, man's best friend, I've met Jeezy. And anytime anyone else walks in the room, Jeezy hangs out with them over you.
That's facts. Yeah, she's not a huge fan of me. I'm saying what I feel about
her.
She, okay?
So you view her, she's your best friend, but you're not her best friend.
Yeah, we're 5 years deep. She loathes me. But I'm saying my feelings towards her, and it might be because she plays hard to get, if we're being honest. Okay, now, on to your... We've got Thursday night football
to get to.
Thursday Night Football. But you've got Louisville as your small dog.
Boy, we pushed my small dog back further than my hairline. The Cardinals are the better team in this one. There's zero home field advantage at Hard Freaking Rock Stadium in Miami.
But well, your dad's going to be bitter. Fading the Hurricanes.
30 to 45 minutes away from the campus on Coral Gables. It's just like it's the worst situation possible for a program that's desperate to be relevant again. Also, Tyler Van Dyke's back at quarterback. They lost Emery Williams, the freshman, last week, who really wasn't all that great either. But I don't think Van Dyke's 100%. He has not looked good this year. He doesn't look right. I think Jeff Brohm's team step up for big games when it matter. Louisville's coming off back-to-back 30-plus point performances, outscoring opponents 88-27 in that time. Let's go with the Cardinals on the road, taking care of Miami. Big win. Also, they have Juwan Jordan, who'll be the best player on the field.
I think it's a good spot for Louisville. Miami's kind of in disarray. And guys, fast forward about 24 months, they're going to be looking around, calling up Dustin's dad and other people saying, can we get money to get rid of Mario?
My dad is.
What is Pop Sweetelson? Where is Pop Sweetelson on Mario Cristobal right now?
First of all, they're not calling my dad. My dad has a photography degree from the University of Miami.
Are you kidding me? He's the first guy you call. You said you spent $100,000 to get a photography degree.
Mr. Sweetelson, he does tweet at Baltimore Oriole AAA players, hoping that they'll write back.
After they're traded for Jack Flaherty.
Well, they do have time on the plane.
He's not high on Cristobal, but I don't know. I think he's actually coming to grips with the fact that this program's never going to matter again.
You have to be high to be high on Cristobal.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, no, because here's the deal. Cristobal can be James Franklin, but is that what you want for your program? He's not a good coach, but you got to get good players, and he keeps signing these 4 and 5 stars, so the hope is next year or the year after, it's put up or shut up time.
By the way, the other problem you mentioned, it, Dustin, you took about 45 minutes from Coral Gables to Miami Gardens. Patrick, when you look at it, University of Miami has the second largest distance between their college campus and the games where they play their stadium. UCLA is the only one longer. Miami's 22 miles. UCLA's 36 miles. It's ridiculous. You don't get any student atmosphere there. Noon kickoff in Miami Gardens. They'll be lucky if they actually have 20,000 people there.
It's also a small school. It's a small private school. They don't get state money. Like they don't get to play around with that Alabama state money.
Well, we've seen
Is the most successful coach over the last like 20 years Al Golden?
20 years puts us at 2000. Well, Larry Coker won a title.
Well, that doesn't count, right?
Like, you're
not on the Forbes 400 if you inherited your money, right? Like, you didn't actually do anything. They're like inheritance.
Oh, how about if we say 15 years?
Yeah, it's got
to
be Al.
I'm trying to think. It was Al Golden into Mark Richt.
No.
Yeah. Al Golden into who was
Randy
after
Shannon?
Golden?
Oh, Randy Shannon.
It was Randy Shannon. That's correct. And then into Richt.
I knew Randy Shannon was going to be a failure when Mark Whipple got so mad that Randy Shannon took a timeout one time and he didn't let the OC make the correct call. I was like, they're in trouble.
That's one of those when you're calling for like a star player from your team to eventually take over as head coach. It's like it creates a really weird situation where like he has this legacy as a player, but it's not working as a coach. And he just lets Ja'Cory Harris go out there and sling it like 40 times.
Not that you're bitter.
No.
Carl Durrell thought Randy Shannon was a bad hire. Remember when Colorado's like, I got an idea. Hear me out.
Al Golden, though, is the biggest donk of the donks.
Al Golden, I think he won. He always wore a tie. I just remember that.
He's doing decent as the DC at Notre Dame right now. But I have to be honest with you. Let's go back to Carl Durrell for 1 second. During that interview, when you sit there and you go, you're the athletic director or whoever was at Colorado, they go, we've got a guy who's coming in here with the personality of a plant. I think he's going to win living rooms. Let's bring
him in. But also his resume. He had a disastrous tenure at UCLA.
Oh, my God.
Like, nothing positive happened. And Colorado's like, you know what? He might have something here. He was a disaster.
Even anyway. David Culley would have been a better hire than that.
Or at least Cully's got some energy. Carl
David
Durrell, you're checking
got paid
to see
a lot
if he's got
of money
pulse.
To go away. Speaking
God,
of
that's
which.
That's the greatest
all
thing.
All right, my mid dog. This is the reason I stalled, because I don't have a breakdown of this. Here's my breakdown of Cincinnati tonight at +165. Voodoo, witchcraft, fingers crossed. We need it for 40-1. Manifestation. Can't hide, deny, or protect Cincinnati at this point. They need to win. They got to get to 10 wins. A loss tonight would be detrimental. That's my mid-sized dog. It's just about vibes.
Like the call. Let's go. The Bengals, we need them to win tonight. This is an important game. We talked about it earlier, guys.
It's weird because it's such a coin flip game, but that three and a hook makes it so odd. The fact that you can use the Bengals as your mid-sized dog is a victory.
That is true.
All right.
I went to
your mid-sized dog.
I went to the Pac-12. I went with a team that's been really struggling. That's the Colorado Buffaloes. They've lost four in a row. But on the flip side, Washington State, they've lost six in a row. This team has just gone downhill after a 4-0 start. This looked like they were going to be what Oregon State is this year. They beat Wisconsin early on. They beat Oregon State. And then all of a sudden, they went down to the Rose Bowl, and they have not been the same since. Guys, they scored 7 points against Stanford at home. I think Colorado finally gets off their losing streak and beats Washington State here, taking them at +154 instead of the 4 points.
Yep. I'll take it. Colorado +154. Dustin, you're shaking your head yes as well.
It was definitely one that was considered for me as well. I like that play a lot. I ended up going with Michigan State because I love when a bad team plays a bad team and I can get plus money on one of the bad teams where I think they're about equal. We're going to go with Sparty. Freshman quarterback Caden Hauser's taking over, but man, has he had to play against some tough defenses. Rutgers, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio State loosens up with Indiana. What is Indiana bad against? Well, they're 14th in the Big Ten against the run. It's weird how you could be ranked 14th in a conference named the Big Ten. But that means Nathan Carter, the running back, should have a big day for Sparty. I think they have a chance to go on the road and upset in Bloomington. The Hoosiers will go with Michigan State.
I like that call, Patrick. I think they're alive here. They've got an opportunity. Look, this is a team that 2 weeks ago beat Nebraska. They've played, as Dustin alluded to, some tough defense. I think this is a good opportunity for them.
And here's dumb math. Yeah. This is called boy math. This is boy math. It's a thing on TikTok. You guys aren't on it. You should get on it if you want to be addicted to something. Michigan State lost to Rutgers by 3. Indiana lost them by 17. Maryland lost they lost to start over. Michigan State lost to Maryland by 22. Indiana lost by 24. That means Michigan State was 2 points better versus one, 14 points better versus the other. 17 divided by two is 8.5. Michigan State is at 8.5 points better than Indiana.
Boom. Wow, that was incredible. Me joining TikTok at my age right now would be like a backwards hat and a skateboard being like, what's up, kids? What's going on? It'd be weird. I'm going to take Iowa State catching 247 hosting Texas. And here's the reason. Steve Sarkisian. Okay. Again, last year, Iowa State was a 16-point dog in Austin, and they lost 24-21. All of a sudden, they're going to Ames, where Ames always seems to bite somebody once a year. That tall grass, it's just a weird place to play. And again, the focus, this is the key for Texas. They almost lost to TCU last week when TCU dropped 20 points on them in the fourth quarter. That's because Sark's teams never focus. How about they barely beat a Houston team that freaking stinks? Sarkisian is a donk. And yes, I'm using that in a negative way here. And donks are going to donk off games like this, Dustin Sweetelson. This is perfect. This is like Sarkisian. His team's got an opportunity to make the playoff, and he goes to Ames, and he does Sarkisian things. Iowa State's won 4 of 5. They're peaking at the right time. I got them beating Texas this weekend. Let's go. That's all.
I'll tell you right now, if you're Steve Sarkisian and you lose this football game, don't even get back on that plane to go to Austin. I mean, they're going to be waiting with pitchforks. This is their best chance to make the college football playoff.
Of course it is.
And if this guy goes into Ames and loses to Matt Campbell, come on.
His team was cruising against TCU last week. TCU dropped 20 in the fourth and almost beat them. I literally wrote my notes. Sark is a donk, and donks are going to donk off games like this one. Yes, it is a negative connotation, Sweetelson.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
football game to kick off week 11 tonight. You can go to DraftKings and bet $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets when you use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. That's for new customers. Bet $5, $150 instantly. Also, everybody, betting at DraftKings, a no-sweat same-game parlay every day, each day of the week. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We'll get into the picks, some plays for this evening. We've got the dog pound, which we're rounding out right now. I had Iowa State hosting Texas, plus 247 from my big dog. Amal Shah, you're up.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the team I just can't quit. This is like a drug for me.
Dude, we're going to need to send you to rehab.
Loves the Jets. I know who it is. Yes, Jets, Jets, Jets.
I like this defense. I think they have a Super Bowl-level defense. I'm just waiting to see if Rodgers can come back and somehow sneak into the postseason. Then maybe this team can finally fulfill its destiny. But I'm going to take them against the team that just fired its offensive coordinator. Buffalo makes a change. They bring in Joe Brady. I'm telling you right now, Joe Brady's not the guy everybody thinks he is, because Steve Emsinger was the guy at LSU that ran that offense. Brady got all the credit because Emsinger was not a public guy, and he allowed Brady to take that credit. We saw how much he got exposed at Carolina. Let's see what happens to Josh Allen, whose confidence looks like it's waning a little bit. Stephon Diggs has not been as engaged in the offense the last three or four games. This Buffalo team is ripe for the picking right here with a good defense like the Jets.
Can I ask you two a question? Do you know what wide receiver in the NFL has been targeted the most this year?
Yeah, Puka
Correct.
Nacua.
Stephon Diggs. And that dude never stops complaining.
Well, no, now he uses his brother to do it.
Yeah, that, you know that they're texting each other like, yeah, you get,
hey,
you know,
it's probably like, gives him his password.
But dude, I have no intel, and I'm just looking from the outside, but it does, like, sometimes that type of behavior can be insidious, where you're worried if you're Allen about not targeting him, and then all of a sudden, is he going to be pissed at me? Like, it seems like a lot, right?
Well, no one wants to deal with a moody person, because you don't know what you're going to get on any single day. So
Correct.
He's now going to overcompensate because he knows that he's generally miserable. I think people do this with me a lot of times. And he's going to overcompensate and try to get him the ball more. And in doing so, it's going to hold the whole offense back. And in the end, Diggs is going to be more miserable because then the team's going to stink.
I think you've got a good disposition. You're always pretty steady. I would never think that about you. All right, donkey donk, 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 donk. Your large dog.
Can't make fun of my pick here because it's the same as yours. You got your pick in late.
It's a great pick. It's a winner.
I didn't change this one because I love it. Look, things have been a little bit too calm with the playoff contenders, and it's time for Sark to Sark. Iowa State lost in Austin by 3 last year, but won the 3 meetings prior with the Longhorns. Now we're back in Ames. Jonathan Brooks, the big running back for Texas, is out for the year. Longhorns' last 2 games were decided by 3 points. They're bad versus the pass. Let Rocco Becht cook and upset Texas.
Said nobody ever, Rocco Becht cook.
Let Rocco. I think he had his best game last week. He threw for 200 yards.
Let him cook.
Let him cook.
All right. Well, I'm with you, big guy. Iowa State, let's go. Sark hasn't sarked yet, as you put it. Okay, you want to hear from John Harbaugh? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, you know, I thought this was an interesting quote from Harbaugh because, you know, Lamar missed a big throw late in the game that could have helped them win the game last week.
I'm down on Lamar.
Okay, well.
That second half, I'm sorry. At times, you just got to take over. That interception you're talking about was terrible. I'm sorry. I'm down on him right now.
Harbaugh was asked by some of the beat reporters what he'd like Lamar Jackson to improve on, and here's what he said.
Nobody's perfect in every game. It's like, you know, Lamar competes, he fights, he plays hard. You're going against the best defense in football, the schemes, and it's crazy situations. And I just wouldn't rather have any quarterback in the league than Lamar Jackson in a tough situation. You know, we all try to do our best in every situation. We all try to build and improve, you know, through all these experiences that we have. And he's no different. I just love his competitiveness. I'm Lamar Jackson guy. You know, that's my guy. I believe in him. And I'll take him in every fourth quarter situation from here until the end of – until I'm done coaching. I'll tell you that. So proud of him, and we'll roll with Lamar.
That guy has been coaching the Ravens for, what, 12 years at least?
It's got to be longer
years,
than that.
Maybe?
Longer than that.
Yeah. He's the second longest tenured coach in the NFL.
Maybe 15 years. He has never said a sideways word in 15 years. You know what I'm saying?
2008,
like
by the way.
2008, what does that mean? 10, 18, more than 15 years?
Yeah, 16th year, yep.
16th year. Do you guys know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He always says the right thing. It's
always
insane.
Above board.
Like, to never not be above board is wild. He gets asked questions every single day. He's an impressive guy.
He's one of the great all-time hires, and he was outside the box.
Yeah, by the way, corrected. Mike Tomlin's been around 1 year longer than him, I think, or a little bit longer.
He was a special teams coordinator up in Philly, wasn't he?
Yes, he
was. I didn't realize they were hired that close together.
Tomlin.
Well, you're a donk.
I'm not denying it.
Let's see. Well, I guess I gave my play. I'm going Bengals tonight, and I will take the hook. So give me 3.5 with the Bengals.
Are you confident in them? I can't bet this game tonight. I like the under.
I know exactly what the big guy's doing. So I'm going to go ahead and say one of them that I already bet because I had to lay like $1.30, but I did go over Mark Andrews 4.5 receptions, Dustin.
Yeah, Mark Andrews over 4.5 receptions, over 57.5 receiving yards. Look, without Hubbard on that defense, the Bengals linebackers are going to have to help with that rush a little bit, which is going to open up some pockets in the coverage. Bengals allow 67 yards a game to tight ends. That's third most in the league. He's gone over 57.5 receptions, 5 out of 9 games. He had 5 receptions versus Cincy. The last time they met, has had 5-8 versus the Bengals last year, 8-3 the year before, 4-6. He's almost always around or going over that number. He's gone over it a ton. I like him to go over. Bengals allow 6.11 receptions per game to tight ends. That's fourth most in the NFL. It's a Mark Andrews feasting type of night.
Beautiful. Good information. Can I give you guys a NBA play and a prop just
Please.
For randomness?
Yeah.
I like the Thunder tonight. I got them at 2.5. It's up to 3. They're at Golden State. They're peaking, and Steph and Draymond are both out. Again, I don't know what the number would be if they were in. My assumption is this is like an 8.6 to 7-point adjustment.
I would agree.
This Thunder defense is tremendous. The lowest point total of the season was the last time out for the Warriors, and that was without Steph and without Draymond. Conversely, the Thunder are all of a sudden healthy. A couple nights ago, or on Sunday, they won 111-99 at the Suns, okay? And then they beat down San Antonio on Tuesday, 123-87. They're 4-1 ATS their last 5 games. I like the Thunder here. I do have a prop for you, but do you guys have thoughts on the Thunder? I got 2.5.
I think it's a good spot to take Oklahoma City. You mentioned it, no Draymond Green, no, of course, Steph Curry. Steph's averaging 30. My problem is when you look at the Warriors, who else is going to consistently step up and score? As good as Clay is, he needs somebody to facilitate.
Is he still good?
No, I agree with you. I think that's one of the reasons why Bob Myers left, because he doesn't want to have to be the guy that re-signs him. He actually wants to tell him, no, we can't re-sign you.
Yeah, I just think it's tough to have to rely on him, and I think the Thunder are such an up-and-coming, fun, low-key kind of deep roster.
Yeah.
Young legs might run the Warriors out tonight.
The kid Williams from Santa Clara is a good player.
I've played center – this is going to sound weird, but I played center assist numbers against the Warriors because the Warriors allow the most assists to centers of any team in the league. Now, Chet Holmgren, again, it's weird. Dustin, you'll like it because it's plus money. Over 2.5 assists for the Thunder big at plus 135, okay? His last 8 games, he's averaged 3 or more in 7 of them. I've got Holmgren getting at least 3 dimes tonight. It's a weird one, I know, but I got that one.
So it's at 2.5?
I don't expect you guys to have a comment.
He's going
to
get that total a bunch this year.
Plus 135.
First of all, you get plus 135.
Draymond.
Well, think about this. If you get an offensive rebound, you cut it to, you pass it to a cutter, you get a layup. There's an assist.
Correct. No Draymond.
Yeah.
I love that one. That was
Before we go, I have 3 more props. Tyler Boyd over 4.5 receptions plus 110. I think he'll get a lot of those looks T. Higgins normally gets. Lamar Jackson. I don't normally mess with quarterback props, especially rushing. Over 8.5 rush attempts, over 44.5 rush yards. Bengals allow the 4th most rushing yards to quarterbacks in the league. He's averaging 48 yards per game. When he faces Cincy, he's averaging 11.75 attempts, 74.25 rushing yards in his last 4 against the Bengals. I think Lamar is going to use his legs a lot on a short week, limited playbook, quick turnaround.
It's a good call. This could be a great game tonight.
It is going to. I am actually looking forward to it. While I thought the 3 of us had very good shows today, I think we would all agree the star of today's show was James Polk.
I agree.
No question.
I agree.
Can you disagree with that?
Nope.
Even Brennan came on with Polk trivia. Polk took over.
You know who would disagree with us? Mexico.
Yeah. To this day, I don't think they ride or die with old James Polk. Fire first, Polk. Your boy, manifest destiny. Anyway, boys, we'll see you tomorrow. Sharp money.